Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast.
Whoa.
You stumbled into my intro, you fool.
Sorry.
Right into his trap.
Right into it. The show where we get hyped about stuff and or things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I'm the other one, the other host, David Bell. And we have a
and this trap special. Triggering bastard here.
It never fucking works because I listened to your episode with Abe. And there was awkwardness there as well. It never, ever works. Introducing a podcast cannot be done.
It's impossible.
But my name is Michael Swaim, and I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
We are joined.
It's always special. It's always special when you're here. It is greatly enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess... Let's get this shit out of the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a Patreon tier now where you can be a producer of Hypecast. And along with some other stuff, you get a shout out. So I'd like to give a shout out to some of our producers. We have a couple that I just kind of forgot in the past because they were on another tier. So I want to give a shout out to Lef. Y'all know Lef.
Woo! Yeah, we know
Bob
Lef.
Bob Grenville,
Nolan
sure. Nolan Matten.
Yeah, definitely.
Joshua Graves. Andrew McGuire. You know those names because they've also given us special episodes if we just watched.
They have, it's true. These are old salts, I guess.
Old salts.
Old
That's
hands.
Exactly
I
what they are. They're like Willem Dafoe in The
yeah,
Lighthouse.
They are.
And also our other producers. We got Ozzy, new one. Ozzy with two Z's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's just a good-looking name.
That's a strong name, powerful name.
It's
on top of that, we got Tom
name.
Quasi Dangerous Levels of Hype K.
Mm,
ooh, can I read the next one, Dave?
Yes, yes, you can.
Please do.
Hi, Bart Fartigan. Thank
Bart
you for your
Fartigan.
Patronage. Sincerely.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Mm.
Yeah. AJ. Mr. Andrew Jackson, AJ.
Right, yeah.
I even have the notes.
Bill.
I have written in the notes, is it Andrew Jackson?
I was wondering if that was the full username, AJ
no,
hyphen,
it's not.
Is it Andrew
AJ
Jackson?
AJ is Andrew Jackson.
I think I literally, when I wrote down AJ, I'm deleting it now because it's like, why is that note there? Tip, let's golf before movies, guys. Drizzle, thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, maybe we should trade off. That's a good idea.
All right.
All right, Frank Lee Amish. Draining threes.
One. Don't
from,
say the first part
from,
of the next
from,
one.
From Pennsylvania, I guess, where all the Amish people are. Isn't it Pennsylvania? Yep. I don't know.
It can be. I don't know why it can't be. I don't know. Why would I know that?
I don't know.
Tom.
The movie The Witness.
Is it now my turn?
It's based entirely on the movie The Witness. Yes,
yeah.
That's true.
Is it
yes,
now my
it
turn?
It is now your turn.
This is going to last forever. Miss Voidus. Thank you, Miss Voidus.
Woo!
Can we each do two?
Sure.
All right. The Ghost of Dave Thomas. That's the self-explanatory one.
Yeah, grilling them double stacks for us from heaven.
Yeah. Michael, you want to get in on some
of
these?
Yeah,
I didn't
know if I was in the rotation or not.
I don't know
yeah,
why
jump
not.
In. Jump in.
Yeah, all right. Aaron Burser.
Yeah.
Yeah, old friend, good friend, long-time caller. Oh, are we doing two? Is
You're
that
doing
the deal?
Two.
All right, a brace of names. I'm a longtime listener of Gamefully Unemployed's feed, so I will say it properly. David Knife Boot Henson.
Nice.
Knife Beats. Christopher Robert Spartz Esquire. Topher Bobby Spartz. Our man in the law office is going to bail us out when we inevitably get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Mackenzie Righteous Hand of the Lizard People Chill.
Yeah. Mm. Kenzie's.
So chill. So
So chill. And I'm gonna finish it up with Funky J.
Straightforward. I like that one.
Oh yeah. Yep. Well, we have decided that the J is Jesus. We haven't figured out any alternatives.
Oh, Funky Jesus. And
you can see it, right? The funkiness Jesus with like a breakdancing Jesus.
Right, That's your show.
Perhaps some roller skates. I don't know. Some roller skates could be involved.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And finally, Pie Guy.
Woo!
Hi, Pie Guy.
Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you guys so much for your support. You guys are fantastic.
And let me apologize for Dave for forgetting you first couple of guys like a big old jerk.
I guess I technically forgot them. Patreon is weird.
It is
for
weird.
For example, I won't get into it. I had to track some of them down because not all of these, when you select, like, show me the people who do this tier, it'll show you, like, some of the people. It's like, well, no, we want you to work for it. Like, Patreon's weird, guys. Patreon's fault.
I mean, I just want to say, as your sister podcast feed and runner of the Patreon page, of course, this is all lies, you guys. It's very straightforward and simple.
Patreon's weird.
Dave obviously just chose to overlook you, and you need to know that. Mm-hmm. Bob Granville. No patron left behind. That's what we say. That's patron's a reference weird. To the very first name we said that everyone's forgotten.
All right.
I think it's trailer time.
I think we did a good job there, guys.
We did such a good job.
I derailed it as hard as I could. It's like visiting a friend's house, you know? It's not my house.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you can do whatever you want.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
so
I'm off the chain.
Walk in and immediately knock over the coat rack and
stumble into the intro, shit on the Patreon shout out segment. It's just going to keep going like this, so let's get going.
All right. Let's do it. Let's dig into the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird week for trailers, but it's not a bad week, I don't think. We're starting with Spiral, the movie that should have just been called, I don't know, Saw 6 or 7.
No. It's called Spiral from the Book of Saw.
Oh, okay. That's confusing.
And is that because the logo is the spiral? Is there a spiral saw? I know so little about tools.
Yeah. There is.
It's the spiral in the movie Saw, right? Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. Okay, but spiral is not like a kind of saw.
Not to my knowledge, in that way.
Okay.
I don't know. I assume not.
I think it's Dave's note in the notes is correct. It's 7 though, right? Like it's 7?
There's a lot.
This might even be 8. I don't know.
I mean that this movie is 7. It's the movie 7. The trailer.
Well, yeah, kind of, yeah.
All right, let's fight about it.
Some things to keep in mind. This was written by Chris Rock, which is interesting.
The story was, it was.
The story was. It involves Chris Rock in it, starring, and Samuel Jackson. And from this trailer, you guys, my first thought was like, oh, okay, they're making like a grounded new generation. I looked it up. It's the same director as Saw 2, 3, and 4.
Yes.
So it's just, I think it's just another Saw, right?
Yeah. But this one has Chris Rock in it.
Yeah.
Whom I love dearly. But wasn't there a big difference between Saw 1 and the rest? Like, isn't there that considered way better than 2, 3, and 4?
Yes.
Well, what's his name made Saw 1?
James Wan.
James Wan,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and Lee Whannell wrote it and is in it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's...
That's concerning, but it does feel different. Like the trailer, you're honestly surprised that it's a Saw movie when it reveals that it is, I think.
Yes, for sure.
I kind of wish they went the Split direction and like we just didn't know it was a Saw movie until it suddenly was.
Oh, yeah.
That could have been cool.
I think that would have been neat.
Just call it Spiral.
Yeah. I'm not against it, but I am kind of suspicious of it. I think we're about to get a Chris Rock Rockassance.
A Rockassance, yeah. He's in Fargo
is that
season
in Fargo?
4.
Yeah.
A Rock Croissance.
There we go. It was right there.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a breakfast menu item.
That's true. Rock croissants? Ew. but I wonder, it almost has like a reboot feel because, you know, one of the like trends of the Saw franchise has been the traps getting more and more elaborate. And this trailer has him, A, handcuffed to a pipe, picking up a hacksaw, which is straight out of Saw 1. And B, the one trap they show that's very Saw-like is pretty simple by modern day Saw standards. So it definitely feels like they're trying to go back in some way, soft reboot or something. It's interesting to me that it's the same director.
I do think that's smart because I think the Saw movies definitely lost their way. Like, I've seen a few of the sequels and they're not the worst, but like, I think there was some producer who was just like, crazier traps. That's not what it's.
They got real in the weeds and like the mythology got really complicated.
Right.
In the Saw movies.
I caught every third one, so it became confusing quickly.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm super interested to see, because this movie exists because Chris Rock had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very curious to see it.
And that is enough to propel me to the theater. Like, I'll watch it because Chris Rock is excited about it. For me personally, that's enough.
No, that's enough for me too.
Yeah.
When we talked about the Fargo new season, I realized like I'm a fan of his movies, like all of his movies. And he doesn't have much of a movie career, but like every time Chris Rock is in a movie, I guess let me add, except for I guess Grown Ups, but like Chris Rock movies.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm always a fan.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I'm excited just to see him in a movie again, in a movie that's not a tone he normally does.
Right.
And I don't know. Yeah, it's exciting.
No, I'm into this.
Even top five at this point was a while ago.
that's been like 6 or 7 years at least, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what he's been up to. He's just suddenly decided to be in things again.
Where's he been living under a rock? Huh?
Nice.
Oh.
Are you upset you invited me on the show yet? Because I can keep going.
No, yeah, I don't know. We really showed Chris Rock.
Oh, yeah, owned. Sorry, Chris. Sorry, not sorry.
I mean, he had done those Madagascar movies, too.
Oh, yeah.
I always forget those. Like, my brain refuses to connect the synapse for Steve Carell to the synapse with the Minion guy.
Oh, right.
I'm just like, no, that's okay. I'm not going to remember that that's him. I don't want to.
It's also, like something like Madagascar, which I'm sure are fine movies. There's just no reason in my life to ever think about them.
Yeah.
No.
Or let alone like watch them.
Yeah,
like,
I'm pretty sure I've seen them all. Thanks.
Really?
Well, I have a young niece and nephew, and Madagascar was in pretty heavy rotation when my nephew was a lot younger, so I'm pretty sure I've seen all of them.
Right.
And yeah, they're fine. it's fine.
I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure they're colorful and there's fucking animals. Yeah. All right. Good on Madagascar. Do we want to talk about the next trailer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because the next trailer is The Jesus Rules. We had the teaser last week, but the full trailer came out. Michael, I'm particularly curious what you think of this one.
Yeah, I'm glad we have you here for this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't know, Abe and I over on our network do a Coen Brothers. Well, it's complete now, but Coen Brothers Brothers about all the works of the Coen Brothers. And I gotta say, the thing that strikes me is that, as Abe revealed in that series, the Jesus is based on like a weird skeevy stagehand that was on set at one of the Coen Brothers films that they started like making jokes about and then eventually developed into the Jesus and randomly put him into the Big Lebowski as a character. So to me, I'm a little concerned. It like it it feels like stretching it pretty far to me, how far you could go with this. And my take on the trailer is that it's like taking DeJesus and trying to make him like a Righteous Gemstones type character, where he was used so sparingly in The Big Lebowski. Now we're going to focus on him, and it's already established that he's a piece of shit. So it's just going to be how much comedy can we get out of this piece of shit? I like stuff like that but it's all the execution. And I will say like I'm not excited that it's being made. I'm like cautiously pessimistic, but the cast is killer.
Cast is pretty good.
I enjoy John Hamm in the trailer.
Yeah, and the trailer's not bad. It's just, I love the Coen brothers so much that even John Turturro, who I love very much, I'm like, how dare you walk into this dojo?
It's a weird decision.
I kind of assume it's like Spiral, where he must have a good idea, because why would you suddenly do this? Or he's just like, I really liked that playing that character. I just want to do it again somehow. Which seems like that wouldn't be a good reason to bring it back. I also just assume he must have discussed this with the Coen brothers.
He would have had to.
I would think so. Although I really don't like that on YouTube the trailer is subtitled The Big Lebowski 2, because it is not that.
That is not at all what it is.
It's...
Has Turturro directed or written before?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What do you know what he has done?
I'm looking it up.
I can't think up on the top of my head, but I know for a fact he has done both before.
Yeah. It's just so weird that I'm extremely curious about it. Because they either had like a really good idea or it's just going to be a mess.
Yeah, but it's like his fifth feature screenplay, so it makes me less suspicious that he's just trying to like launch his career off of Big Lebowski, his screenwriting career. Yeah. So I bet you're right. I bet, and I respect John Turturro immensely. So I'll go in without a chip on my shoulder and assume he had a good idea.
Yeah,
and the cast is phenomenal. Even if it ends up as just like a Knives Out like romp with this amazing cast or Bad Times at the El Royale, I wouldn't be that unhappy.
Yeah, because I also think it can't touch, and I think there's about a lot of remakes and sequels, it can't really touch the original. So,
oh no, like, yeah, that's not even.
It's almost like a fan film,
right? Like I don't even think that conversation's on the table.
Yeah.
Of like, what will this do to the Big Lebowski? It's like, it's not going to do anything.
Nothing.
No. Yeah. So,
well, I'm like Abe, I don't believe in legacy. Like, the thing will always exist. They can make as many bad Jurassic Park movies as they want. I can still watch Jurassic Park. It's fine.
Right. That's how I've always felt about like Jaws is my favorite movie. And it's like, I love the sequels in a very different way and watch them constantly, but I recognize that they're bad. But it also doesn't affect the original at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what this reminds me of, actually, is The Two Jakes, the sequel to Chinatown.
Yep.
Yeah. Directed by Jack Nicholson. Because it's essentially the same thing, which is Jack Nicholson being like, oh, I want to keep that character going. And,
it was actually the writer of Chinatown.
Oh, okay.
He wrote and he had a third one planned in case The Two Jakes did well, but it did not.
Yes. And... it's not a bad movie, but I get why it didn't do well, and no one remembers it. It's a footnote, and you know, maybe it deserves to be, maybe it doesn't, but it never affected Chinatown.
Man, now I might have to watch The Two Jakes when we get done recording.
I didn't think it was bad. I don't want to spoil it, but it starts a pattern of like what the big conspiracy is, like based off of, you know, because the Chinatown's about, what is it, water? And this is about something else, but it starts a pattern.
I think it's land, right?
Fire.
It is land. I didn't want to spoil it.
Well, it doesn't give anything away.
Yeah, that's true. I'd like to hope, like, the third one would have been about, like, heart.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
that's the other
where
element.
You're going. Yeah, like it.
Yeah, water, water, earth, and heart. Yeah, that's totally...
But yeah, I don't know.
Detective
it's
Wheeler
movie.
Investigating fire disputes.
Uh-huh.
In all tracks.
It all tracks. But
with your,
yeah,
with your powers combined, I'm Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, I think this movie will either be good or we'll just forget about it. We'll just, like, in a year be like, remember that movie?
Yeah, and it won't bother me at all. I'll be like, yeah, John Turturro, you're still great. Whatever. Do whatever you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah, he's earned it.
Who cares? It's not like there's a lot riding on this film 22 years after The Big Lebowski.
Yeah,
exactly.
Our next trailer is The Undoing, which, boy.
Oh, shit. Remind me which one this is.
I was about to say the same thing. Nicole Kidman, right?
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, she's married
HBO.
To Hugh Grant, and she's, like, under suspicion
of
murder.
Yeah, Hugh Grant. And Donald Sutherland. Remember that yeah. name, listener. It will come up again.
It
Man,
sure will.
Donald Sutherland is killing it right now.
Yeah.
He's in
he's
everything.
Like, yeah, in his twilight years, he's like, put me in that. I'll be in that.
Yeah, fuck
yeah,
it.
Just put me in that.
Just come to my house.
Donald Sutherland is so old. He was in the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, that's awesome, honestly.
I think. Is
think
it the Dirty Dozen
like,
or Eagle Has Landed that I'm thinking of? Anyway, sorry.
I feel like we're in the groove for the next, because I know what's coming, and like the next few trailers really got me. I trust
yeah.
HBO by and large, like 70%. And I don't usually like this kind of stuff. Like, I didn't care about Gone Girl or Girl on the Train or Girl Who Saw a Murder, and now more stuff is happening.
Well,
but like,
well, speaking yeah. of which, the police detective in this show is in Girl on the Train.
Oh, really?
Okay, I yeah. didn't even know that.
Yep.
But I gotta say, I don't know, the trailer was compelling to me.
I like a good thriller.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
a good thriller mystery. Mentioning The Girl on the Train, I really enjoyed that movie. Yeah, I'll probably watch this. It's HBO.
Sure.
It's easy enough.
Nicole Kidman, did you guys see, what was it called? Big Little Lies? Is that what it was called?
I think so. Yeah,
that
it's
is
the
an
person
HBO
behind
show
that,
I've heard
right?
good things about.
Yeah,
I really want to see
she's
Destroyer. So have you guys seen
What's
Destroyer?
That?
I have not seen Destroyer yet, no.
Ah, it's on my list. Okay. But yeah, this is it's exactly the kind of HBO-style crime thriller that you will give a shot, and if it's good, you'll continue, and if not, you'll drop off instantly.
Yep,
yes.
So, yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, HBO, they put out a lot, don't they? I can't
yeah.
really keep up.
Oh
but
yeah!
Everything there's always a baseline quality. It still feels like
usually.
So I'm
yeah.
sure this will be. I'm sure this will be good for at least the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm bored, yeah, like you said, I'll just not watch it. I guess, which is a really bland take.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it looks good. I always like a good mystery. Like, are you guys watching The
yeah.
Outsider right now?
I need to catch
I'm
up,
not,
but I really enjoy
I'm mid
the
Righteous
first three.
Gemstones. That's how far back I am.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, Outsider. It's not, it's like, there are some shows that's not true of, so I don't think that's that unspecific of a take. Meaning like, Handmaid's Tale, because of the underlying thesis and premise and the fact that it's sci-fi and that I like symbology and satire or, you know, like social commentary, means there can be long stretches where I'm like, that episode was just okay. That episode was just okay. But I'm still going to push through. This is the
oh,
exact kind of show
mean.
Where you're like, all it is this mystery. So if you lose me for a second, I'm out, dude. I'm
yeah,
out.
I know what yeah. you mean.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's not compelling enough. I think The Killing was like that. Did you guys ever watch The Killing?
Yes, no. I felt that way about that. Yeah.
Yeah, where yeah, it's the second season, or I think it was the first murder was stretched into two seasons. Whatever the second murder was, it lost me. Because I was just...
That's too
I was
bad.
Just,
yeah. Even
I
Twin Peaks suffers
caring.
From that, as great a show
yeah.
as it is. Yeah.
Well, and that was kind of... I mean, famously, David Lynch never wanted to solve the mystery in Twin Peaks, and he sort of was pressured into it by the network.
Right.
That makes sense.
Which, I would argue the network's kind of right.
Well, yeah. It's amazing that
yeah.
David Lynch got to make a network show
a network
ever.
TV
yeah. It makes
show.
No
yeah.
sense that it happened.
What
yeah.
world were we living in?
Yeah.
My gosh.
Those executives must have been so fucking stressed out, too. where they're like, well, oh, you want to do murder mystery? Sure. And then this happens. Yeah, they're like, man, this is not what we thought.
Yeah, they're like, okay, David, so when are we gonna wrap up this murder arc? Oh, we're never going to.
Have I told you about the Black Lodge? Oh, Jesus Christ.
I guess we should move on to the next one.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that next one is Burden.
Oh, yeah. Famed writer-director John Turturro finally dipping his toe into acting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about time.
At long last, you know. He's so many years behind the screen. Now we can finally see him flex his acting muscles.
We got Whitaker, Forrest Whitaker in
got
here.
Got a Forrest Whitaker, yeah.
We got
an Usher. We
got a David Simon and an Ed Burns, you guys. We got a creative team behind The Wire in here.
Yes.
Oh, no, I thought that was the next one.
No, that's this one.
Oh.
Oh, no, wait, yeah, you're right.
It's
right.
The next one.
You're right.
The next one I'm very excited about. Burden's the one where the KKK guy is.
Oh, shit. I got mixed up because because this is another trend right now, and I'm glad we're talking about it.
Oh.
Like, I'm glad Middle Eastern terrorists are losing their boogeyman status and that KKK are raising in status, but I got confused because there's a lot of shots of KKK people throughout the trailers. Yeah, this evening, yeah. You guys.
Both this and the next trailer are depressingly relevant and they know it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think in the Burden trailer, they have review blurbs that are just shockingly
today. I made a note of that. It's on this one because this Burden is based on a true story from 1996, where it's basically it's about a Klansman who's trying to rehabilitate, and Forrest Whitaker plays this preacher who's trying to help him get out of it, and everybody's mistrustful of him. And one of the review blurbs said it's eerily topical. I'm like, is it eerily topical?
Yeah.
Or does it know
or
what
is
it is?
Deliberately yeah. topical.
Yeah.
They're just like, what a coincidence that they put this out. And it's topical.
Weird that they would jumble words together and it would bear on our times.
Yeah.
I also, I don't know. I'm annoyed by, I bet this will win all the Oscars for similar reasons as Green Book, which is America loves a story about how racism could just be overcome if the black person was super open and loving and turned the other cheek an infinite number of times. And you're
It requires, I don't know how to feel about this one because I got that vibe from it too, where it's just wow, okay, this is a story about if we can save this one white dude and all it takes is for the entire black community he terrorized for so long
to show endless patience.
Just complete selflessness and patience for him. And it's okay.
Well, guys, I have some information for you.
Please.
The director, it's his only directing credit. He was a actor on Ally McBeal. He is a white man. He was also in Armageddon as a NASA tech. It is currently sitting at a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
Granted, that's 13 critics, but it must have played at a festival. So, yeah, I think that might be.
So it's not
where
going
we're
the
heading.
Green Book route. Okay. Awards wise, anyway.
I'm not seeing the reviews aren't saying that it's Green Book. A lot of them are saying it's just badly directed.
Well, to be clear, I admire anyone who shows a capacity for limitless love in the face of hate, and that can turn the tide of hatred. But a movie designed for a mass audience that normalizes the thought that black people should
it's
be
up,
so
it's
nice
up to, it's up
that
to
this
the victims.
Gets worked out is
yeah, it's up to the victims
to
of hate to solve the hate, which is
you just gotta let them crash at your house.
I don't know. I mean, we're three white guys commenting on this, so I don't know.
Yeah, but we are.
I definitely that was the first thing that popped into my head as this trailer played out. I'm like, this kind of feels like the same. It's one of the only stories Hollywood likes to tell about racism.
That's it. It's that we're viewing it as Hollywood people through the lens of these are the stories Hollywood tells itself, and we're rolling our eyes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, if you see it and it uplifts you and fills your heart full of love, good.
Yeah. And I guess since this is based off a real person, if they were just trying to show, like, hey, how fucking brave was this guy or loving was this guy to
you're
do
like,
this?
Yeah, that guy rules.
Yeah, you can't be like, fuck this real person, but it
no.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might. I'm seeing some reviews that it's like it's a good story told by the wrong people. Mm. And it's like, ah, okay, that checks out. You know, where it's probably a very inspirational story, but yeah. I don't know. It's just some white dude directing it, writing it,
and
you
then
say.
Commenting upon it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, and then yeah.
Real echo
chamber.
The cycle is
complete, you guys.
I don't feel
it's
good about
circle.
That at all.
The circle of white.
Oh no. Oh no. No.
Oh,
I don't feel
no.
good about this.
No, you're not supposed to feel good about it, Tom.
Oh, no. I don't know. Maybe it's good. I don't know. Maybe I'll just read
it's
a
50%
book. Right. 50%. Maybe I'll just
4%?
Like,
I bet it's not. Yeah.
I'll just like read a book about this guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Well, the next one is The Plot Against America. This is David Simon.
Yeah.
This is the creators of The Wire featuring John Turturro. Mm.
Yeah.
Copy and paste all my previous comments.
Yes.
About anti-Semitism and what's the guy?
Charles
the guy?
Lindbergh.
Lindbergh, yeah.
About Charles Lindbergh running for president.
The
yeah,
original,
this is an HBO show.
The original Taken, if you will.
Mm-hmm. This
too
is
soon. Is that his baby
not
got
cool,
kidnapped
Michael.
Is the
not
joke
cool.
there. I'm sorry. But he was a Nazi, so.
I mean, well, I mean, it's let's to be clear, Michael, his baby got murdered.
Uh-huh. Subsequent to the kidnapping. Did
right.
he not also get kidnapped?
Was the kidnapping not also a step
it.
On that?
You gotta right. take the baby first.
Yeah.
You take, then you murder.
Right. It's taken from the point of view of Liam Neeson's daughter's friend's parents.
Sure. And that's all you need to know about The Plot Against America. No. It looks to be using the Lindbergh event as just a lens to talk about anti-Semitism, which again, this is why they started to blend together for me. And I love shit like this. Like Jojo Rabbit was one of my top films of the year. So I'm into this and I will watch this. But they just started to blend together because it's like since Get Out and Us, everyone's gotten the hint of like, ah, social parables. Now they're just
right.
flowing out.
It's that, and I think, I mean, the fact that we have vocal Nazis in the street again, I think like this one is a little bit different from that because the Lindbergh stuff and the period of time in America it's talking about is a period of time when Nazism was very much like vogue.
Mm.
And it's something that we do not get taught about in school and you never read about anywhere because it is so bad. So
yeah. And it's bad on our team, quote unquote.
Right. Oh yeah.
And if it's is it a series, a mini series?
I think it's a series.
It's a series, yeah.
That's even more exciting to me.
Yeah. Fucking David Simon. It's just
yeah.
Of
I
course.
Mean, Jesus.
Of course. Anything he does, it's like, yes, of course, I'm in.
Yeah.
He just makes such good stuff. And he, like, I don't know, he makes such mindful stuff. It's just, yeah, it's exciting to see this premise being covered by him.
Yeah, it's just full trust in, like, well, obviously this intersects with social and political issues. So, David Simon, explain it to me. I'm
yeah.
all ears.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch Show Me a Hero? Phenomenal.
No.
No, so good. David Simon miniseries with Oscar Isaac. Super good.
Oh, shit. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, I was not aware of that at all.
I gotta keep Excellent. Up with my David Simon.
Yeah. It's after Generation Kill. Before
okay.
this. I think it's
okay.
the only one. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because I love Generation Kill.
Oh, my God.
Of course,
so
The Wire.
Good.
And
yeah.
the thing he did before The Wire, the prelude to The Wire was really good.
I still haven't
called.
Seen that.
It's,
Homicide
it's,
Life on the Streets?
Yeah, I think so. It's
I have
a,
not
it's a
seen
real
any
bummer.
Okay.
But, you know, it's good. It's very good.
Speaking of real bummers, should we get to the
yes.
Queebee?
God. I was literally
exclusive.
About to do.
Were you going to do
yes.
the same segue?
Yes, I was. Quibbley's The Fugitive.
Yeah, Qbert's
Donald
Fugitive.
Sutherland, or Kiefer, the other
it's
Sutherland.
It's Kiefer, yeah.
Oh, no, not going to see this.
It's like trying to meld The Fugitive into 24.
Yeah.
It's so obviously misguided. Like, it's going to suck. It's going to suck, you guys.
It's also, why even call it The Fugitive?
Right, there's no reason to call it The Fugitive.
Well, like there's the one reason.
The Fugitive's a very specific story.
Yeah. This is just, it's a fugitive, so let's call it The Fugitive.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but isn't this just every plot of every, like, Kiefer Sutherland
of
show?
Of every movie?
Yeah.
Or, like, of 30% of movies?
Right. Like, every political thriller is about being framed for an act of terrorism or something, you know?
I'll just say the most excited I was in this trailer was the first 4 seconds when I mistakenly thought the protagonist was Dan Stevens. Then I would be like, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been good, but it super isn't Dan Stevens.
No.
What they need.
It's Boyd Holbrook.
Boyd Holbrook.
All right. Good luck to you, sir.
If they really want to excite us, you get Tommy Lee Jones. You do U.S. Marshals 2. Robert Downey Jr., you thought he was dead. He's not dead. He's back. And you bring Robert Downey Jr. back.
The space cowboys crash to Earth.
Yeah. No, it's he's like, maybe he's hunting Robert Downey Jr. And then he's like, I need to call in some old help. And he calls up Harrison Ford to like do some doctor stuff. And we just let's extend
this
The Fugitive.
Like, this is like old guy Avengers that you're picturing
right
now. Yeah,
this is old guy Avengers.
Fugiverse.
And don't you want it? Don't you want
kind of?
Red wasn't Red that basically?
Sort
or
of,
Expendables for that matter.
Yeah, that's true.
But I want it to be in the Fugitive verse. There's only been 2 Fugitive movies. Don't we deserve more?
I mean, yes, quite frankly.
Sure.
Wesley Snipes can be
Dave.
Back. It'll be great. You can get Julianne Moore to show up. Like, play her brief character from The Fugitive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say
idea.
No to it.
Yeah. It's just, if you want, I guess what I'm saying is if you want to make more money off of The Fugitive, remaking it isn't the idea, right?
I also don't even think the name is bankable in that way that they think it is.
Right.
Yeah, I guess, absolutely. Right. I mean, they already tried one in the early 2000s, and
yeah,
that didn't.
Here's
do well.
My other, I guess this is my other phrasing is that The Fugitive, both the Fugitive and U.S. Marshals could have just been named Tommy Lee Jones the movie.
Right,
he is the reason that movie works. Harrison Ford's great, but Tommy Lee Jones is the reason The Fugitive works. And when you try to remake it or do anything to it without Tommy Lee Jones, it's just a guy being chased by a guy who gives a shit.
I want Josh Brolin as young Tommy Lee Jones from Men in Black 3 to take Tommy Lee Jones from No Country for Old Men back to fight Tommy Lee Jones from The Fugitive.
That would be great.
And then Llewellyn
Tommy Lee
Davis
Jones
played
is The
by
Fugitive?
Josh Brolin dies off camera. Yeah.
Yeah.
They all die off camera, I think.
It's 3 Tommy Lee Joneses in a storm drain saying, I don't care. Doesn't that get your
just
heart just racing?
Yeah. One of them's like, I don't care. And the other one's like, well, I don't care you don't care.
I super
well,
don't
I
care.
I don't care about either of you. Just no one fucking cares.
Keeping Up with the Joneses, it's called.
Of course.
Of course.
We did it.
We did it. We did it, you guys.
Congratulations. I guess we should get to the last trailer.
Sure.
And I think is the MVP of this list, The Burnt Orange Heresy.
Woohoo!
Starring Mick Jagger.
Yeah, starring Mick Jagger as an art collector who wants to pay Dracula to steal him
Dracula.
Some paintings from Donald Sutherland.
And is he the one named Clay's Bang?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God.
That's
how
a cool
can this
name.
Not be amazing? Like,
I mean, it actually looks kind of good.
It looks like a fun mystery thriller.
Yeah.
It has thought it looked decent. I'll be honest.
I mean, it has a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay.
I don't care. I want to see Dracula rob Donald Sutherland.
I want to see Mick Jagger act. Has he ever been in anything before?
Yeah, Free Jack.
Oh, right. That's why I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very Thomas Crown Affair vibes.
Yeah. I fucking love this. I can't wait till it completely skips theaters or is in theaters for a week and then is out for streaming a week later.
You don't need much to see like, it in theaters, yeah.
Yeah. I'm no, getting like the Good Liar vibes off of thing. It.
Oh, I've got to watch The Good Liar.
I know. Ian McKellen just being a honeypot for old ladies.
Also continuing in the proud tradition of movies about great artists where they show their art and you're like, that's not that great.
Well, art is so subjective that it's
I
like,
know,
you
but
can
I
see
love,
it and be like, I guess that's a $5 million painting.
It's true in real life too, but like in Velvet Buzzsaw, some of the art they showed, you're like, that's clearly, I don't know how I know, but if you know what I mean, you're like, that's not a great artist. That's a set production designer doing what they think a great artist would do. Like
well,
you can
like,
tell.
It's like when there has to be a band in a movie and like they have to be kind of a made up band and they have like maybe one song. And if there's multiple scenes with the band, they just play the same one song. It's that where they don't put in the work where they're like, no, you get it. They're like, they're an artist.
You're like, yeah,
like
he's an
Andy
Warhol
within a movie,
type.
You know,
you get it. So I mean, he doesn't have to try that hard.
Let me come in here in defense of Jason Segel. Jason Segel wrote multiple songs for Russell Brand's fake band in both Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Get Him to the Greek.
Oh,
and they're all pretty good.
I got
those are all pretty good.
The first one that came to mind for me was Scott Pilgrim's Band, and those songs are pretty decent as well.
I mean, and now I got to throw out Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh,
is
yes!
Also good.
The songs
all cool. Movie bands yep. are good, I think is what all we're right. getting at. Yeah.
I take it back.
All right, great.
That Thing You Do, The Wonders, they have some back. Fucking jams.
Oingo Boingo and Weird Science, excellent band.
All right. But you know what I was trying to say?
Sure.
Like movies within a movie is where it's like, I know
or
you're saying
like,
this with
like
the art where it's
Drive Shaft and Lost where it's like Charlie's Band only ever played You All Everybody.
That's a perfect example. Yeah, You All Everybody.
And it's the stupidest song. Like it's a terrible
it just
song.
It always cuts off. And is this Amelie I'm seeing in this as
yeah.
well?
Okay. No. Amelie was in the Jesus Rolls.
That's right. All right. I have too many tabs.
No, Elizabeth Debicki is the one in this. She was in, The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay. I'm so excited for this stupid movie. Yeah, I really don't care how dumb it is. It's fucking Thriller with Mick Jagger.
Yeah, man. Who gives a shit? I'm going to watch
it. Yeah, this week was heavy on thrillers that look decent.
Yeah.
So if you're a thriller fan, you got some shit to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. Should we move on to news stories?
Sure.
Yes.
Do we want, this is actually technically a trailer. Do we want to talk about this Disney Plus promo? The only like new stuff in it was this aired during the Super Bowl and it showed WandaVision. And I have a feeling it was very different than people thought it was going to be because it's like weird and black and white.
Parts of it
and,
are.
Like,
it jumps be. Through, it well, jumps through different generations of sitcoms and they've been saying from the get-go if you've been reading about it they've been saying from the get-go that it's gonna be weird, it's gonna be like a sitcom, like a bizarre sitcom style show, like I think there's gonna be a laugh track, like it's gonna be strange.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And I think the premise is gonna have something to do with like, you know, Scarlet Witch has like probably one of the most like mind-bending power sets in the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably going to have something to do with like shifting realities or alternate realities that she and Vision are stuck in or something like that.
I heard it was going to tie into Doctor Strange 2, which we'll get to in a second.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that's going to go because they like shifted around. This was supposed to come after Doctor Strange and now it's coming before. And I don't know. I assume they're just only like slightly related,
yeah.
And that's why they can do that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like concurrent.
Yeah, they're my least favorite characters in the Marvel, and this is like one of the things I'm most excited to see now because
right.
of that.
Yeah,
because
it looks crazy and outside of the box, and
Yeah.
It's a big swing.
It is. And maybe they knew, like, well, no one's looking.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody have any other thoughts about this little promo?
I don't care about any of this. And
okay.
It's causing me great strife at work and in my private life. I love Marvel. I thought I loved Marvel characters, but I'm as saturated as you can be. I'm just dead inside with Marvel shit.
Okay.
I'm done. Yeah.
You and me both, Michael.
Yeah, here's the thing. I agree with you guys, and then I read this next piece of news.
Here we go.
Well, I'm just... Let me be clear. I was just commiserating with Michael because of the jobs that we have require us to sort of be constantly immersed.
Oh, yeah,
in
yeah.
Every
that is a particular
news.
I now get morning daily briefings on what Disney Plus and Marvel are doing to the minutest detail.
That's exhausting. Yep. I hate that. I hate that for you guys.
It's what people want to read about.
It's only 25 minutes a morning, but 5 days a week, you're like, I fucking get it.
Yeah, you don't need to know that much. But this, okay. So I don't know if he's been officially hired, but Sam Raimi is in talks to direct Doctor Strange 2.
Yep.
Which is kind of the only other person
that could get
to
you excited.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam Knifeboot Raimi.
Knifeboot!
Twitter's already talked about this, and you know what? I'm on Twitter's side. If this ends, because it's the multiverse stuff, Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, hello?
Hello?
Hello, hello?
I'm still here. We might have lost Dave.
I think we lost Dave.
I'm here.
All right. Then,
you may have
are you still
repeat.
Rolling?
Can you guys not hear me?
We can hear you. I can hear you now, yeah.
That's fucking weird. I think my internet might have just been shitty.
Okay,
for
so you should go from I'm on Twitter's side.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys... No one stopped recording, right?
Nope.
Tom, you write down the code?
Yep, I got it.
Cool. I'm on... Okay. So I said I'm on Twitter's side.
Mm-hmm.
Then we don't know what you said.
I have legit no idea what you were about to say.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm on Twitter's side about this. There's been tweets of people saying this, and I really want it to happen. That since it's the multiverse of madness or whatever, and it's dealing with multiverses, and it's Sam Raimi, and why not end it with like them opening a final portal or whatever the fuck, and just get 40-year-old Toby fucking Maguire to crawl out of there?
Yes,
fuck it.
Yes, use this to make a live action Spider-Verse film that pulls in Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Oh,
fucking throw Topher Grace at Tom Hardy and see what happens.
See what happens. Who gives a fuck?
Get Thomas Hayden Church to cry over all the different Uncle Bens he's killed. He's like, oh no, Martin Sheen too.
Court from The Quick and the Dead shoots Doctor Strange in the face.
Yep.
All that.
I guess one thing about Sam Raimi doing this is Sam Raimi's pretty cheesy, and I love it.
By today's standards, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I don't know, his tone is not the same as Marvel's, and there's going to be some struggle.
I do think it's kind of the right time for it insofar as we switch back and forth between... a draining film of color, action adventure films especially. We seem to switch back and forth from draining them of color and then oversaturating everything. And we are in the cheesy oversaturated phase, I'd say. We're like, Batman, Chris Nolan's Batman stopped hitting, and now Guardians of the Galaxy and Doctor Strange is hitting. I think it's like a better time for Sam Raimi to direct a superhero movie than it would have been 10 years ago. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, it's weird they didn't tap him earlier because Spider-Man 2 still remains like one of the best superhero films ever.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
Yeah, it definitely does.
That's the Molina one, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Very good. And so, like, of course you get fucking Sam Raimi. It feels like they were in, like, a meeting and someone was like, wait, Let's ask Sam Raimi.
Can we get Sam Raimi? Yeah, yeah, I think there was probably a lot of deliberation after Scott Derrickson left, which Scott Derrickson left supposedly because of a struggle.
Right, because he wanted to make it weirder or darker,
more horror, scarier. Yeah,
which
yeah, yeah.
I guess that's what worries me is that it happened with Edgar Wright as well, where it's Sam Raimi. I guess this is why I think it works. Is Sam Raimi has always been a very distinct directing style, but he doesn't. He's never been like really intense about story.
And it's
does
not
that make sense?
Edgy, yeah. Like the Evil Dead remake. The whole reason they had a space to fill where they could go creatively was they're like, okay, Evil Dead, but what if it was really fucked up? Because Sam Raimi, in his way, is safe. You know what I mean? Like, he is a studio director, even though he has a lot of flair.
He manages, and I guess that's what I'm, he doesn't seem like the type to be like, no, you have to have this scene in or I walk. He'll just be like, okay, we'll do it that way instead, and I'll direct it in a really cool way.
Oh, yeah, because, he'll play ball. Sam Raimi will play ball.
Yeah,
and it'll look really fucking crazy. It'll be a crazy, like, the cinematography will be nuts, and it'll be fun, and Yeah, I don't know. He did that Oz movie. Remember that?
That was very bad, yeah.
That was very bad.
I do remember it.
With James Franco.
Yeah, Oz the Great and Powerful or whatever. Yes. And you watch it, and that's another one where I'm like, this is very bad, but I love the Sam Raimi direction. You know, like
I didn't think it was very bad, but I could be wrong. I only watched it the once, but I felt like
I've only watched it the once.
It felt like Hail Caesar, where like it just felt indulgent. It's like Sam Raimi, you get to do whatever you want. Obviously, the film The Wizard of Oz. You saw it when you were 9 and it was important for some reason, so now you want to do this. Whatever. You've earned it. I don't know. That's how I felt about it.
I don't know. Maybe I should watch it again and see.
Yeah, I guess maybe I should watch it again too.
I don't get the weird obsession with casting James Franco as someone who's like you're supposed to read as sophisticated and erudite. We had a weird flirtation with that I just don't understand.
I thought you were going to end as someone, and I was going to agree with you.
No, he's good as himself in the the end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's good as himself. He's not good as someone.
No.
You don't cast him
as someone. Yeah, he's best as himself.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm super excited for Doctor Strange 2 now.
I always was, but this is definitely...
Well, I was, and then I wasn't when they fired him.
Yeah.
And now I am again.
Now I'm back on board, baby!
Yeah. Also excited for Christian Bale going to be in Thor Love and Thunder as an alien, is all we know. Tom, any idea? Do you know any Thor that you could speculate?
There's a lot of people he could be.
There's a lot of aliens in the Thor universe, in the comics.
That was the thing where they're like, he's going to start as an alien. It's like, I guess no shit.
I mean, fuck. Because
they're all aliens.
He could be Morg. That's probably not it.
You could even fudge it and say the Asgardians are aliens versus gods. So it's like, almost everyone who's not Natalie Portman from the original Thor is an alien.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you even mean?
He could be Blast
It's
Star.
Like saying... Yeah, it's like saying he'll play an alien in Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like, yeah, sure. I assume so. I really think the headline has been and will always be just Taika Waititi is getting to direct Christian Bale, and that's delightful to me.
That's
right.
Yeah, I think Collider actually broke the casting news. I'm pretty sure.
Ooh.
And from what our reporter said. That's specifically the whole reason Christian Bale was even interested is because he wanted to work with Taika Waititi.
Good taste. Mm-hmm. Taika Waititi cannot make a bad film. Hunt for the Wilder
really
People
can't.
Is
Accurate.
One of the best movies.
Yeah.
So despite what I said about Marvel fatigue, Taika Waititi's like a get out of jail free card. Like, I'll be there opening night. Are you kidding me?
Of course.
This is why Marvel continues to be like, and I'm like, I feel like I have to begrudgingly admit this, is like, they're very fucking smart. Because I remember thinking like, there's going to be Marvel fatigue. And like around the Thor 2 time, it was like, it feels like it's already happening. But Marvel has always been smart enough to know about it ahead of time.
I think they
knew it was coming. So they're like, let's fucking shake it
up. I think they have very
good. Let's make it so weird.
They have very good taste in who they assign, and they do shift course. there's this weird underlying, I don't know what I'm getting, but I do feel like nevertheless, every single Marvel movie does have an underlying feeling that is the same. And that's like a riptide that I slowly get tired of, even though the surface can change a lot.
Well, that's the thing they seem to have some sort of grasp at, is they seem to be able to get a director like Taika Waititi and be like, hey, how would you like a lot of money and a surprising amount of freedom? All you have to do is hit this, 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 and this, like, beat.
Yes.
You know? Like, all you have to do is kind of fit it into our little puzzle, and if you can fit it in, we don't give a fuck.
Your voice can totally
do.
Come through. You just have to do it in this shape. That's all. Like, we have a plan 20 years from now or whatever.
Right. And Ragnarok is so much fun.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, that's a great movie.
They also seem to know which movies to do it, because they knew Ragnarok was going to lead. Like, the ending of Ragnarok, it's like, oh, I feel so good. And then all those people die.
A
like,
lot of them,
immediately.
Yeah.
In the fucking Infinity Wars. And it's like they knew to like give us that fun before just snatching it away in the plot. So I think they know, like, they're in that, like, okay, we're done with the big Infinity War stuff, the end game. Let's like reset, give them something that's fun and new and weird, and remind them, like, you know, what just the fun of our movies are. And they're just very smart about that.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And I can't deny it.
Yeah, it's well strategized.
Yeah. Speaking of just, you know, box office hits, there's a first lookout for the G.I. Joe spinoff, Snake Eyes.
I have, you guys excited? I have no comment on this news story.
You guys so excited?
I liked G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Me too.
I thought that was a big, dumb, fun movie.
I
was just going to say, if they recognize that that's their best movie, this might be a lot of fun.
I haven't seen them. I just have no connection to G.I. Joe from childhood, because that wasn't the line of toys I played with. So I don't know what they do. I never saw the show, so I haven't seen any of the movies. Swaim out.
All right, that's fair.
Fair.
I'm going to give you some bummer news. Well, first of all, they're stepping on the toes of the classic Brian De Palma, Nicolas Cage film. But
true.
This director doesn't give me. This is the director of Flight Plan, The Time Traveler's Wife, Red, and R.I.P.D. So that's
which
not,
one was Flight Plan?
That's not a great sign. It's the Jody one with Foster. Jodie Foster.
Oh, those. Okay, and, so that's 4 out of 4. Those were all mediocre or worse.
Yes.
Oh, R.I.P.D. is one of the biggest bombs of all time.
So that doesn't give me hope.
No, but at least you can keep getting multi-million-dollar franchise movies when you bomb your ass off like that guy.
Isn't that great? Yeah, that you can make R.I.P.D. and they're like, hey, don't worry, buddy.
You can make
we'll R.I.P.D.
and they still allow you to live, let alone continue make movies.
Interesting.
R.I.P.D.
It's almost as if the meritocracy is falling apart. Yeah.
I've said it before, that's the quickest I've ever shut off a movie at, I believe, less than 30 seconds in.
35 seconds?
We watched it on a patron night.
I wasn't there, Tom, when you guys watched it on the patron night.
What was the final straw if it's 35 seconds in?
I know exactly
It opened with them fighting like a bad CGI fat guy that was like a zombie. And the CGI was atrocious. And then he did like a backflip and it did a Matrix freeze. And like did a Matrix spoof, and this was like way too late. And then it zoomed in on Ryan Reynolds, and the narration went, "That's me. You should." And then I shut it right off.
Good call. You gotta just call
just
it.
Like, nope. Yeah, I was just like, not worth my time.
Like,
we're done.
It was
here.
Like a Matrix backflip, and like the fat zombie's like butt cheeks was on his face or something.
Yeah,
like he was
it's
in
like
an
a joke about how
position.
He's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, done,
that's
we're done
me.
Here.
I bet you're wondering how I clack.
Yeah,
that's like, grandma's in more pain than she needs to be, and we're just keeping her out of selfish reasons here now, and it's time to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason I watched R.I.P.D. in its entirety was to write that After Hours script.
Yeah, I remember that one. And no one envied you. They're like, I don't know, it's your pitch, man. You got to watch it.
Yeah.
It was an aggressively bad movie.
Anyway. What a bad fucking movie.
It is. It is atrocious.
Yeah. We got one last news story here. We also technically this came with a trailer, but we kind of talked about it last week. Vin Diesel's talking about how there's probably going to be one more Fast and the Furious, I guess, and it would be a 2-part finale.
Mm-hmm.
And to that I say, no, 10 more.
Well, they're going to do spinoffs and stuff.
Yeah, but also 10 more.
But also 10 more, yeah. Just keep making these until the Earth cracks off of its axle and flies into the sun.
Yeah, axis, like a Fast axis. And Furious
exactly,
stunt.
Yeah. They can hijack the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird how I don't get Marvel fatigue with these. I completely agree with you, fine gentlemen. Like, there's no stopping point for this. There's no reason.
No, just yeah. keep making
this
them.
Is a James Bond style franchise. This can go forever. It's fine.
Yes, I think it can go. I think the only reason James Bond is sort of losing steam is because everybody sort of simultaneously realized why do we like this guy?
Toxic masculinity is losing its sheen, but as long as cars are relevant, I think you could do Fast and Furious and you're good, man.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I think also it's that there's no one character, if they can just switch them out.
Yeah, and they keep adding exciting people to the cast each time. So it's oh shit, well I've got to see them in this movie.
I've definitely seen every Fast and Furious, and it's definitely not for any particular actor. It's just the franchise has got me.
Yeah, it's also not for any particular reason. You see the trailers and you're like,
Your tagline should be why not? What else are you doing?
Yeah, they're like the Mission Impossible films.
Yes.
Yeah, where you're just like, yeah, I mean, they're harming nobody. It's
sure,
just,
why
it's a stunt show. It's a stunt
Cirque
show,
du Soleil?
And that's
fine.
It. Yeah. Yeah, fine. Fuck it. Yeah, more power to them and Vin Diesel. I mean, he's Vin Diesel.
Yeah,
look
all the power to Vin Diesel.
Yeah, IGN, they get a bunch of free toys all the time, and they played Hot Potato with a toy no one wanted. It ended up on my desk, and it's Vin Diesel as Deadshot. And it made me realize he's very easy to render in action figure form.
Right. He looks like an action figure.
He looks like the generic head you would put on a mannequin.
I always imagine a casting call and this hairless, bald, chiseled man walks in. They're like, what's your name? And he's like, I'm Vin Diesel. And they're just like, yeah, I think we can work with this.
I don't know how you...
I don't know what I'm looking at.
I don't know how
yeah.
you weave a consciousness of him into normal existence. He could only be a celebrity of some kind.
Right, yeah. That's all he can be. Yeah.
They had to introduce him in space. You know, they're like, yeah, he's a space guy.
Yeah, who's our next audition? Well, this guy fell to Earth in a meteor. He likes Dungeons and Dragons, and his name is Mr. Diesel. Yeah.
It's Mr. Diesel. He wants to do a movie about extreme sports and being a spy. And we want to let him.
That sounds right.
It'll be called Triple X. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Producers just look at his photo and yeah, we can do that.
And he's
I feel like we have to do
you
this
don't
immediately.
Get
how much does he need?
I'm also a nerd, too. And they're like, no, we get it. You have dimensions. It's fine. We don't care. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Here's $100 million.
Yeah. We got something here. Oh, sweet, sweet Vin Diesel.
He ain't hurting no one.
Yeah, he's another person.
He's doing the opposite.
I'm just 100 more years
totally.
Of Vin.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not just hurting people, he's bringing joy to millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
Just unmitigated joy.
Yeah. That's it for news
All
stories,
right.
you guys.
Well, that's it,
God.
Right?
Well, Dave,
oh, is there another thing? Oh, shit, that
listen,
thing.
Listen,
yeah.
listen.
Fuck.
Shut your soup coolers. Because Dave?
Yes.
Dave, do you happen to have a movie?
A movie that what?
That deserves more hype?
He's not
going to
have
hype.
One.
Additional
no,
hype?
I'm worried.
Guys.
No,
he does.
I totally do.
Yeah.
I totally do. This is great news.
Hell yeah.
I wanted to make a quick update because we've talked about it before, but there's a full trailer for the film Veronica, directed by Danzig. It can't possibly be good.
It looks so bad.
I'm annoyed you made me watch it.
It looks like it was directed by Danzig.
Yeah. It's exactly what you think it is. It looks so fucking terrible that I cannot wait to watch this movie.
It's going to be one of those movies where it's like, if you don't know the context, you'd watch it and be like, why is the soundtrack so good? Because I bet the soundtrack is going to be way better than the film. Right?
Well,
it's be
that's his area of skill and competency.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, I need to come up with something that sounds pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's brutal.
Danzig, what are you doing? But the actual
brutal.
Film, he is being brutal. The actual film that deserves more hype. I went with a different tone. This is called Blow the Man Down.
Mm-hmm.
It is being released March 20th this year on streaming. I believe it's like an Apple
Prime,
not Apple,
Amazon
Prime. So it's not like a very indie film. Well, it was an indie made film that I think Amazon bought.
Yeah, it looks like it screened at like TIFF and stuff. So
yeah, and that's why it has 100% in Rotten Tomatoes from the people who watched it. It was written and directed by Bridget Savage Cole and Danielle Crudy, which are just cool names.
Those are just some formidable
Margot
names.
Margot Martindale,
yeah.
Who you always like to see.
Yeah. It looks like Fargo, right?
Spiral.
Kind of.
Did anybody get Fargo
Spiral
vibes?
Spiral is to Seven as this movie is to Fargo. I'll say that.
Yes. But it also, everything is sounds really good. It's about, it's a place called Easter Cove, a fishing village in Maine. And these two, I believe, sisters or friends?
They're sisters, yeah.
Sisters. One of them accidentally kills a rapist with a harpoon.
Well,
so that's fun. Not
accidentally. Is in the mix?
Well, I think it's, what's that?
Well, in the trailer, she's like, I think you mean a brick. Or I lost control with a brick, so I'm wondering if it's like harpoon first, then a brick to finish him off.
Then a brick,
yeah. You see in the trailer, she's hammering the harpoon into
with
him
the
with
brick.
The brick.
Okay.
Nice.
So it's like chicken or egg, like what actually killed him, the brick or the harpoon? Maybe we'll never know.
That's true. It's kind of a marriage of both.
Listen, they worked together.
It's about them kind of trying to conceal the crime. There's a fun scene where they're trying to get the corpse in a cooler that's too small, and they, in the process, I guess they also learn about like the dark underbelly of the town. There's a brothel involved.
The tagline is everybody has, or in this town everybody has a secret, so it will obviously extend beyond them.
At the Tribeca Film Festival, it won award for best screenplay. Ah. That's what it was.
Oh, dope. I'm really interested now. I mean, I was interested before. It also has a little bit of a Twin Peaks vibe because there is, like, the idea is, like, it's this initial crime and then the detective comes to investigate and it's like, oh, the whole town is a mystery.
Is weirdos, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we all got Fargo from it for the same primary reason, which is the shot where they drive by a giant, like, statue of a man in a snowy field.
Yep. Yes.
And you're like, Fargo.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't get a Fargo tone off, like, the dialogue.
No.
I hear there's really good dialogue in it, but it doesn't, it's more just
snow
the
crime.
Look. It just, it looks, you know what it is? It looks like it could be a really good season of Fargo. But it's its own thing, and I don't know. It looks, there's not much more to say except for the mystery thriller mysteries have been like the theme of the podcast, and this is more like
which is
a weird comedy.
I'm extremely
at the same
here
time.
For that. Like I love me some mystery thrillers.
Yeah, and this looks just really good. I think I really encourage people to check out the trailer, because that should be enough to make you be like, oh yeah, I want to see that for sure. And then the fact that it's just going to streaming, it's real easy to see, it's not a limited release or anything. So there's no reason why this can't be like a good thing that everybody enjoys and loves.
And it's been long enough. Like if you told me there's a movie coming out that's exactly like Fargo and it's only 70% as good, I'd be like, that's better
right.
than almost all the movies. I'm definitely going to watch
it. Yeah. And like you said, there's actually very limited evidence that it's like Fargo. It just reminds me of Fargo. Right.
Just the idea of like a crime, a general Coen Brothers vibe of a crime that they're trying to conceal.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with being inspired by the Coen Brothers, because that's just inspired to make good things.
Obviously, they didn't invent that either. They've just perfected it in many ways. But
yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Everybody check out Blow the Man Down.
Yeah.
It'll be probably randomly showing up on your Amazon Prime. You might have to look for it. Write it down on like your arm. Get a tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Like the fisherman in the film.
You don't have
get
all
tattooed
day.
On your forearm.
Just write Blow the Man on your forearm. You'll remember what it means.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. Good idea. Everybody do that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
You'll know exactly what it means.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my movie that deserves more hype.
And that's
the
a
end.
Excellent choice, David.
That is a soad.
Oh my gosh, we did it. We did it, you guys.
It's a zesty soad.
It's zingy. It's tangy.
Don't you like a zesty soad?
Did you like it?
It's all
zesty soad, just like the rind of the soad flaked off on top of your sorbet. The sorbet that is your ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put us on top of your sorbet.
Thanks for indulging me, you guys. It's so lovely to be here.
I mean, thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
No, the reverse.
It's always a pleasure.
I thank you.
I don't know. I thank you more.
All right, we'll sort this.
This is a Tom Lee Jones
off.
We'll
sort this out off mic with pistols.
Like the brick and the harpoon, it's impossible to say who should be thanking.
We'll do
whom.
An email chain or something. Yeah. We'll get to the bottom of this for sure.
Yeah, we'll announce who thanked who. After Dave forgets more patrons and we have to shout them out, we'll lump it into that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Uh-huh. All right. Michael.
Yeah.
You have stuff you would like to plug? Where can we find you? What are you up to?
Well,
tell us.
Yeah, you always forget
things.
That like people have lives and they don't check in with you all the time. So from my perspective, it's been like 4 months now. But if you didn't know, and you're a fan of mine, and you're hearing me now this time say it, I'm the head of video programming at IGN.com now. So you can find a lot of videos popping off there with me in them because it's my day job. But Small Beans is still going strong, which is our podcast and sketch network that remains independent at patreon.com/smallbeans.
I have to say, I've been really enjoying your IGN videos.
Oh, thanks, dude.
They're bringing me back to like being in my 20s and watching like your videos on Cracked and being like, I just having that in my life again is, I don't know.
Oh,
I really
thank you
appreciate
so much.
It. And I also really liked the last Coen Brothers.
Oh yeah.
You guys have been killing it. So
Cause I had no involvement with the sound montage Abe made at the end. That was like the funniest
the sound
shit.
It was really
it was
fucking
so
funny.
Good. What? Joel? What?
Oh, it's Joel and Ethan Coen.
So good.
It's in the fucking time machine. It was so good.
Yeah, but we're working on, I was brought on to sort of move them from people only in front of green screens to series that involve sets and shit. So look for that in the future.
Oh.
I'm just going to recycle the last decade of my life. So look for like Escort Mission and Agents of Cracked at After Hours, but about video games, basically.
Well, I think. All right.
Oh, I'm happy about
this
it.
This is a different conversation.
I'm happy about
I was going to argue. I was going to argue that most people do that, but the difference is you have more like experience and shit, right? Like that's how.
Oh
that's
no!
How it works.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about it. I mean, like,
yeah.
I'm very, very excited. I'm just saying, even as happy as I am about the videos I'm already getting to write, there, you know what I mean, like. Shooting where you actually have angles and shit and you're playing characters is fun too. And there's that in the works as well. So that's my
nice.
Update.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I should tell people about our Patreon real quick.
Do it.
Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Along with the possibility of being a Hypecast producer, we have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have tiers where you can watch movies with us every Friday and just all sorts of crazy stuff. So you should check that out.
Yeah, give it a look-see and head on over to our store at tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed We have t-shirts, mugs, stickers, prints, all kinds of stuff. New designs are getting added all the time. Check that out. And also, go ahead and leave us a review wherever you're listening to this. It gets us out there and helps us get new listeners, and we appreciate all that you do. And just sitting there, even if you don't, we appreciate you just sitting here listening to it.
You guys, you really do bust ass. I gotta say, as a Small Beans co-founder, give your money to Gamefully Unemployed. It's like twice the bang for your buck. I mean, from a sheer content stream perspective.
Both of us.
Yeah, that's true.
Both of us. Yeah. Just give us both. Rip every dollar in half and give us each a half.
And then it's like a BFF locket. Then we'll have to share every dollar.
Yeah. We'll be texting each other like, I need that half of the dollar.
I need the dollar.
Meet you guys halfway between me and you and just bring a lot of tape. It'll be great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This is it's a good system.
It's a solid plan.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Okay. Okay.
All right. All right, say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCorlew, C-O-R-L-E-W, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.